to church. These are some reasons that churches are known. I'm going to ask you another question. What should the church be known for? So right now, your mind's probably going, oh, I'm not sure. I've asked a few people this in preparation of today. Don't feel bad if you like, get ready to write it down. Ready? The church exists for this one purpose only, to seek and to offer forgiveness. Let that sink in for a minute. The church exists for one purpose, which is to seek and to offer forgiveness. There is no other reason that the church should exist. And I know that's kind of like, wait a minute, we've got these really good kids programs. We should be doing kids programs. You're absolutely right. We got a youth program. You're absolutely right. We got a women's program. We got a men's program. You're absolutely right. And every single one of those is designed, should be designed to bring people to a place to seek and offer forgiveness. Think about it this way. People, through many ways, come to a place in their life where they realize that they've gone against God's best, and maybe they're continuing to go against God's best, and so that begins to stir up within them some sort of feelings. They don't exactly know what those feelings are, but there's this disturbedness that continues to go on inside their heart and their soul. They fight that feeling for as long as they possibly can. Like, no, I'll just resist it. I don't want to go. I don't even know about the church and, you know, God and all those kind of things. So I fight those. But if you know how God works, he is, in fact, we'll go back in some theological books, but it talks about the hound of heaven, in which the hound of heaven is consistently pursuing those who are out of relationship with him. And so they're battling this feeling like, I don't know what I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. And then they finally go, fine, I'll go to church and I'll ask God to forgive me. And in that moment, God forgives. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Should be the mission statement for every single church. The only reason that we exist is to create a place, a space in which people can come who have been battling this feeling of, oh, I'm out of step with God. God's mad at me. I've done wrong things. I've done all these kinds of things. And I can't get rid of it. And so what do I do? And there's got to be this place in which we just go, God, I believe that you need to just forgive me. And the Bible's very, very clear that says, if we, he will. If we, he will. No question. The only question is with us, if we will. So if this is the one thing, the main thing that the church is all about, think about this. Every single program that we do needs to be about bringing people to a right relationship with God. Think about that. Every single program. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Well, here's the question. What happens when the main thing becomes clouded? What happens when we're like, oh, I'm not really sure. I was going to fill in two other words besides seek and offer forgiveness, so I'm not sure. What am I supposed to be doing? Well, what happens if the main thing no longer becomes the main thing? And what if the main thing becomes something else? What happens if other things become important? It's time to refocus. time to refocus. And so we're going to do this today. We're going to refocus godly vision, and we're focusing on forgiveness. So let's begin with why people don't seek forgiveness. Everybody take a big deep breath. You ever go to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, this might hurt just a little bit. Yeah, I did that with my son. He was probably like 14 or 15, and he's like, yeah, I'm not really sure I want to go. And I was like, don't worry, doc's got you. We get in the doctor in the exam room, and the first thing the doctor says, hey, have you had your tetanus shot? No, I haven't got it. Hey, have you had this? Have you had that? And all of a sudden, he's bringing about all these needles, boom, boom, you know, pounding them away at him. And like, he's like, I thought you said it wasn't going to hurt. And I said, well, you know, dad of the year. Here we go. Reasons why people don't seek forgiveness. The first one is this: blame. Blame. What do I mean by that? It's easier to blame someone else for my feelings. It goes something like this. Well, let me ask you another question. Have you ever said, oh man, he or she, man, they make me so mad? I know nobody's done that here. What are you doing? What are you saying? Well, it's their fault that I'm upset. It's they're the problem. And so we blame it on them, whoever them is. And right now, there's a whole list of people that are going through your head. A whole list of people that are going, oh, it's him and him is her. And it's this whole thing that we're blaming on them, the reason why we're not going to go seek forgiveness. And all of a sudden, we're going to get to this place of going, fine, forget it. You know what? It's their fault. I'm not doing it. I know that doesn't happen in here. So this is purely informational. Here's what the Bible says. Anybody want to know what the Bible says? Somebody say yes, please. Here's what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. If there's anything that we should be doing, it is bearing with one another. And here's the qualifier. Whatever grievances. Well, okay, what falls in the category of whatever? Whatever. Yeah, but, nah, whatever. Whatever grievances you might have against someone else. Well, yeah, but that's not, and it's their fault that I'm angry. It's their fault that I'm mad. It's their fault that I'm in this position. And so it's their problem. And yet the Bible says, bear with one another whatever grievances you have. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And bind these together in love, creating perfect unity. Blame is a tough one. It's going to get a little difficult, more difficult here. Another reason people don't forgive. Closely associated, it's the twin brother to blame. It is stubbornness. Blame, it's their fault. Stubbornness is I'm digging my heels in the ground. I'm going, yeah, uh-huh. And she ain't ever come to me, and so it's her fault. And I know it. And I'm just going to be stubborn about it. Here's what happens. When stubbornness comes in, it begins to impact our decision-making process in which we filter the hurt through the filter or the vision of stubbornness, and all of a sudden stubbornness becomes the biggest wall that we have to climb over to get to forgiveness. And stubbornness is one of the major contributors to unforgiveness. Man, I'm so mad at him. And I was like, you know, they're just going to keep this. Fine. Then I'm just going to let them come to me. Have you read your Bible? Anybody? How biblical is that? No? Stubbornness becomes a block in our... Anybody ever just say, I just don't want to. I don't even care about them. I just don't want to. I don't like them. Here's what the Bible says. Somebody asked me, what's the Bible say, P.T.? Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. So watch yourselves. Let's just end right there. But Jesus goes on. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Stop right there. Well, okay, fine. He never asked for forgiveness. Well, let's go on then. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Yeah, but that's for the same offense. Imagine that. I mean, this is almost a little ridiculous. Seven times in one day that someone said, you know what, sorry, you know, I did this, I said this, I, you know, shouldn't, seven times in one day. In fact, one of the other gospel versions say 70 times seven. Well, that's 490 if you do the math, and you're like going, are you kidding me? 490 times for the same offense. Seven times in the same day for the same offense. Are you kidding me? Jesus, are you for reals? So let me ask you another question. How many of you have ever asked for forgiveness from God for the same thing? God, I promise I won't do it again. Please forgive me. And God goes, yep, I forgive you. 12 hours later, God, I know I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did it again. Please forgive me. God goes, I forgive you. Over and over and over again. I just don't want to. Will be, is a block between you and God. If we as humans continually point to another person and say, it's their fault, they're doing it, they did it, I will not, I cannot, I should not, I've got all my rights, then we're just moving further and further away from God. Now, this is hard. This is hard. And I'll tell you the reason why. Those of you that are human, raise your hands. A couple of aliens in the room. A couple of Martians. Yeah, we're human. And all of a sudden we have these human emotions that kind of get fired up in here. It's like, yeah, but. And the teaching comes down to this. Like, listen, Jesus said, so watch yourself, first of all. Watch yourself. Be careful there. And then if your brother sins, if your sister sins, go ahead and say, hey, that was out of line. It's okay to be able to say that. And then if he says or she says, please forgive me, it's okay to do that. Now, here's the question. Some of you are going to go, yeah, well, the free pass here is they've never come to me and said, so I don't have to forgive them because they've never asked for it. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands right now because I know all y'all. Because they've never asked for forgiveness. So I don't have to forgive them. Really? Would you say out loud with me right now, I forgive you. Just say it out loud. I forgive you. Now say it like you mean it. No, really, say it like you mean it, out loud. Yeah. Those are hard words to roll off your tongue sometimes because it's like, man, because instantly we're going to the, yeah, but you, No. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Here's another reason why people don't forgive. It is this, three words, failure to forgive. I'm going to explain that in just a moment. Failure to forgive. The reason why people don't forgive is it's failure to forgive. What do I mean by that? Well, of course, failure to forgive is, obviously it's a reason that people don't forgive, but I'm not talking necessarily about you and somebody else. I'm actually talking about yourself. Where we sometimes in our human condition, we find it really easy or we find it easier to forgive someone else. And then we find it really, really hard to forgive ourselves. Listen, if you've gone 1 John 1:9 to God and you've said, Lord, forgive me. And he purifies us and we confess that sin and he purifies us from our unrighteousness. We are forgiven. Come on, church. We're forgiven, and if we are forgiven, then me hanging on to that, even for myself, it replaces what God has done. And so we minimize the witness of being made new in Christ. Oh, I forgive you, and I forgive her, and I forgive all these people, but man, you know what? I'm such a loser. Gosh. I'm just a, you know. And we do that. Well, how's God working in your life if we find it okay to forgive somebody else, but we never will forgive ourselves? God wants to work in your life. God wants to work in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Passage of scripture that I love to point other people to. If anyone is in Christ. In Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, if you've 1 John 1:9 your sin, you are in Christ. Meaning you've asked Jesus to forgive you from your sin. He has purified you from that unrighteousness. And so then you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That is what it means to be in Christ. And so when we not only seek forgiveness from God and give forgiveness to somebody else, we also give permission to say, I forgive me. Anybody struggle with that? That's, again, Satan would love to come in and say to you, you sir, you ma'am, good for you for that, but you are unforgiven. Satan wants to convince you of that. And so even though we might have said, hey, please forgive me, but then all of a sudden I'll never forgive me, then all of a sudden Satan just kind of rises up and goes, yeah, you are a loser. And we take the witness of saying, man, I'm so glad I'm in Christ. And we crumple it up and we throw it away. So, 1 John 1:9, now going on to verse 10, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we claim we've not sinned, we make him, God, out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So this is the first half. I debated how far I will go today. And I think we're going to stop at the first half. And I just kind of want to let it resonate for a little while. Just to let the word dwell within you. Let the Holy Spirit go to work within you. The second half of this, the second part of this, well then, what should we be doing? And how do we? What is this whole thing about forgiveness? And how do we get to that place? So let me ask you a couple of questions. What is In-N-Out known for? Sorry? Come on, you guys are way more passionate about that than I know you. John 3:16 on the bottom of the cups. Allison says, John 3:16, a little word of teaching, do that with an empty cup. You'll go, oh, really? Oh. What is Vons known for? Say it out loud. Grocery store, right? What are the schools known for? To teach, education. What are hospitals known for? I know all of a sudden your minds are going, well, they're. What are hospitals known for? Why do you go to hospitals? To get well. Bonnie, good job. What is the church known for? Do you see how clear vision is for In-N-Out, for Vons, for the grocery store, for the hospital, for the school? Clear vision, clear vision, clear vision. What's the church known for? Well, so that is why we're doing this. It has to be known as a place to seek and to offer forgiveness. That if you come and you come to a place of church and you encounter the living Christ, you will be forgiven, 1 John 1:9. All you have to do is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful, He is just, and He will. So now all of a sudden, I've thrown out in front of you today one half. The other half will be next Sunday. The other part of this is, okay, then how do we go do this? Really, really, really important. So I look at it this way. You can leave from here today and go, oh, cool, you know, well, we learned one half of a lesson, but we didn't learn the other half of the lesson. So I've got 7 days to just continue on in my life of whatever, of unforgiveness, and blame other people and be stubborn and to do those kinds of things. Or I can let people know, you know what, I went to church today and we learned a little bit about forgiveness. Not the whole thing, but we learned a little bit. Oh, really? Did you? How will they know? How will anybody around you know that you've been in church and we talked about forgiveness? Something has to be different. Unforgiveness is the cancer that is eating away at every single person. But God has the remedy for cancer. Let's rise up. Lord, I thank you that this day has been in honor of you. You've been here. You've met us. We are now challenged, encouraged. Our hearts are just kind of like, okay, God, you know, help me out with this thing. I don't have everything done yet, and Pastor Tim hasn't done the whole part of this. We got another part to go, and I've got all these notes. I can actually go ahead, and I can begin to read these passages of Scripture and begin to figure out kind of how you want me to be. But Lord, of all those things, may we refocus and revision our own hearts and our own lives to fall in alignment with you, so that we can bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances that we might have against one another, and that we're able to forgive as you, God, through Christ, have forgiven us. Thank you that every single time we come and ask, that you forgive. Help us to be that forgiving with someone else around. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I submit you to the playground, chances are, hear me well, chances are you're going to get an opportunity to practice this. Chances are sooner than later. Chances are you're going to walk out in the parking lot and your spouse is going to da 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 da, and then all of a sudden you go, ugh, the whole thing on forgiveness. Why did we do that? Chances are you're going to try to pull out onto East Lake Parkway and some dude's going to be doing 70 miles an hour barreling down on you in your Prius. And you're going to forgive him. Chances are. I might say something inappropriate and have to ask for forgiveness. I might. So it's not just you forgiving somebody else, but it might actually be your own actions. So, last thing I will say to you is be aware. Be on guard. Because the devil is going to do to you, oh, really? You learned about forgiveness today? Try this. Be ready. He's going to go, yeah, you think you got it all down? Gotcha. Now, go play.